radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Today on More to Life, managing disagreements gracefully. Many of us find ourselves in disagreements with people we care about, either in general or because of current events. Today we'll explore the steps of negotiating disagreements in a spirit of love and respect.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day. Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want for him. Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life. God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Folks, you are listening to More to Life, the show that explores living a more joyful and abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today on More to Life, managing disagreements gracefully. What could possibly have inspired today's program? I can't even begin to imagine.
Oh, even if you are someone who has stayed out of any disagreements personally, this past weekend, since Friday, if you are on any kind of social media, you know that you are among the few who have managed to stay out of it. More likely, you've at least been pulled into it online, if not in the grocery store, at church after the homily this weekend, and the many various places that you've bumped into any other human being who's watched the news.
Yes, and we're not just talking, by the way, about managing the disagreements that are broken open wide in the popular culture about the Supreme Court decision legalizing gay marriage in all 50 states, but rather all the disagreements in your life, the ones that you were having before last Friday and the ones that you're going to have from today and forward, because let's face it.
About anything.
Yeah, about anything, because let's face it, you know, life is filled with disagreements. From the theology of the body perspective, you know, Pope St. John Paul the Great gave us this theology of the body because he was trying to present what he called an adequate anthropology, which was just a $5 way of saying to give Christians a sense of who we are in the third millennium, where we come from, what our destiny is, and what does it mean to love one another in this current age. To love one another with Christ's love in this current age, right?
Well, of course, he had a lot of experience. I mean, we think we're living through difficult political times. He lived through the Nazi regime. He lived through the communist regime taking over his country. And as Bishop of Krakow, he constantly had the communist regime looking at him and bugging all of his living spaces and his cathedral. And he really learned how to handle conflict and disagreement with great finesse and great holiness.
To the degree that, you know, for our younger listeners who don't have personal experience of this, you know, this is the Pope that, you know, took down the entire Soviet Empire.
That's right.
By showing up and having conversations and helping people realize what they were worth in the words that he said. You know, just powerful, powerful stuff. And so the theology of the body presents this idea of who we are, what our destiny is, how we're supposed to relate to each other. But let's face it, you know, the reason Pope St. John Paul the Great gave us this was because he knew from personal experience that there are so many other visions of what the human person is supposed to be, how we're supposed to relate to each other, what our destiny is. And he knew that we were going to have to engage one another in this debate, in the marketplace of ideas. And he regularly clashed with what he called the culture of death, and still encouraged all of us to find respectful ways to disagree with the direction the world was going. And so this whole idea of managing disagreements gracefully, while certainly a timely topic, is I think an evergreen and eternal topic for all of us, because we all disagree with each other. We all struggle to get on the same page as husband and wife, parents and children, family, coworkers, and even more so now. So we're asking you today, what are those disagreements with others that have been hard for you to manage respectfully? And again, you know, sure, we're talking about the Supreme Court decision on Friday and how that may or may not be impacting your life. I've had emails from people, for example, saying that it was tearing their marriage apart.
Yes, I've seen several come across our computers this weekend where people were saying, that's it, my husband has laid down the law, he will never darken the door of a church because of this. My marriage is to, we had one person who said, you know, we have not slept in the same room together since this came out. We have been fighting as cats and dogs.
I had one person write me and say, you know, I was going through RCIA and my wife didn't appreciate it to begin with, and over the weekend she told me that she was furious with me for joining a hateful cult that would prevent people from marrying who loved each other, and that she was actually thinking about divorce because of this. I mean, this decision has huge personal repercussions in all of our lives to one degree or another. But even beyond that, so if you want to call up and talk about that, fine, we're here for that. But if you want to talk about any disagreement that you're managing in your life that is difficult for you to handle gracefully, we are here for you. We want to help you discover effective ways to do what Pope Francis is telling us to do now, to engage the culture, to deal with each other's differences in a spirit of love, mutual respect, real regard for the other person, while still remaining faithful and graceful under pressure.
Well, isn't that the trick? Because so many of us want to have effective, grace-filled conversations, but we often don't feel like we can be faithful to whatever it is, whether it's our own Catholic faith and beliefs, whether it's our political ideas, whether it's how we chose to raise our kids, because now we're arguing with the spouse or the grandparent or the kid themselves. We often feel that being kind and being respectful means caving in or changing something in some way that makes us less true to ourselves than we know we ought to be.
So we're asking you the question, what are those disagreements with others that have been hard for you to manage respectfully? And what causes those discussions to break down? You know, is there a topic that is bringing you and someone you care about to loggerheads? Is there a topic that you and someone you care about just cannot get on the same page about, and it is impacting your relationship negatively, whatever the topic is? What's causing that disagreement to break down so consistently and cause the tension that it is? We want to hear from you. More importantly, we want to help you through it. You can join the conversation by calling us at 877-573-7825, or by posting your questions and comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/more2liferadio. That's with the number 2, facebook.com/more2liferadio. And of course, everyone who responds to our question of the day, either by calling in or on Facebook, gets their name entered in our Book of the Week giveaway drawing that's going to happen on Thursday of this week, because we're taking off for the 4th of July weekend on Friday, but we'll have our drawing on Thursday this week. We're giving away a copy of my brand new book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. Getting some tremendous feedback on this book. It's a book all about discovering our ultimate destiny in Christ and how we can participate with God's plan for fulfilling the deepest hungers of our hearts in ways that lead to our happiness in this life and our ultimate fulfillment in the next. I was actually doing a really interesting interview with Dr. Tony Gill. He is a sociologist at the University of Washington, Protestant. It was an interview for the Baylor University Institute of Studies for Religion podcast, and it was an hour-long interview.
That's a mouthful, right?
It is a mouthful, and you know, I was excited about doing it because it was a different audience for me. First of all, it was a Protestant audience. Mm-hmm. Second of all, largely a more academic audience. A lot of pastors listen to the podcast. A lot of academics listen to the podcast, and mostly Protestants. Mm-hmm. And he was really really complimentary of the book, and how the Catholic perspective that I was bringing to it really resonated with him. I was able to support a lot of my points using quotes from Calvin and Luther as well as C.S. Lewis, so he respected that. You know, Augustine, of course. Augustine is one of the few fathers of the church that a lot of Protestants
agrees on. Common ground, as we were talking about.
But it was really, he was talking about how the chapter on the divine longing for dignity really resonated for him, because, you know, in his world, you know, as an academic, it's like, it's all about how come she got invited to that talk and I didn't? You know, how come that guy's paper was cited 148 times on Google and mine was only cited twice? And how, you know, and well, so that whole struggle for envy.
And isn't that huge, even in the news, where right now this is what people are truly seeking, is to be affirmed in their dignity. And how do we do that without allowing ourselves to settle for less than God really wants to give us?
So, the point being, that this is a book that's really all about identifying those longings behind the deepest and even darkest desires of our hearts and how to work with God's grace to fulfill those longings in this life in a manner that leads to union with God in the next. So that's Broken God's Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, the book we're giving away this week to one lucky listener who's responded to our question of the day. And what is that question again, you might ask?
Batman, what is that question?
That question, I'm so glad you asked, Lisa, is what are those disagreements with others that you're having that have been hard for you to manage respectfully? Doesn't matter what the disagreement is, whether it's, you know, the recent disagreements over current events or that long-standing disagreement you've been having, we're here for you. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you and we thank you and we bless you for all of the people that we share our lives with, even and especially those people we disagree with, because, Lord, we have a lot to learn from each other, even when we don't feel like we do. Help us to overcome our pride and to embrace the humility that opens our hearts to the experience of others, to the wisdom of others, to the pain of others, and help us to respond to the divine longings behind those desires that others have that we struggle to understand or appreciate or respect. Help us to bring your face of love to all those we meet, especially those we disagree with and who disagree with us. Help us to engage all of the people in our life faithfully, confidently, and with diligence and fortitude, but ultimately in a spirit of love, so that your love may be revealed, and that through that love and grace, we all might be one in you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of
the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
We got some work to do here, folks. Today we're talking about managing disagreements gracefully. And as I said at the top of the program, I can't even begin to imagine why we're talking about this. I don't know. Maybe something went on in the news this weekend. Who knows? But we're talking about managing disagreements with those people that we just can't get on the same page about or with. 877-573-7825 or post your questions and comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. With that, let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're talking now, Greg, with Mark calling from Carrollton, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey there, Mark. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Can you hear me?
We sure can. Hello.
Well, thanks. My question is, my wife and I, we often find ourselves in the discussion about what extent I can protect our family, and if the use of a firearm or something to protect my wife and kids is, she just thinks that there's not going to be a situation that the Holy Spirit won't take care of it for us.
Okay, so let me make sure that I'm clear on this. So is this, Mark, mostly an argument of whether or not you have firearms in your home in the possibility that you may have to defend your family from an intruder or some such thing. We have not been talking about an actual event of intrusion or something like this. This is more you'd like prepared,
this
you'd like to have this in your home.
It's exactly the situation you just described.
Great. Okay.
So do you have a handgun or a weapon already in the home, or you're trying to, or you're debating with your wife about whether to get one or not? I mean, what's the exact discussion here?
I have a couple of guns. We hunt, and our company we do hunting, so there are guns in the house.
Okay.
So.
And your wife's okay with that? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is this more of an academic discussion about how far are you allowed to go in defending your family if somebody comes in the house? Or is this more about, you know, you saying, no, I need to, you know, have, for example, a particular handgun to be able to, you know, fight off a potential intruder, and she's saying, no, you got enough guns in the house, I don't want any more?
It's just the scenario that she doesn't understand why there would be a situation that a group or an intruder wouldn't just go get what they need and leave and not want to harm us. And so it's the use of the gun on a human that, in general, is her situation.
So she's concerned about that. Now, is she at all, because we need to know how far this conversation between the two of you has gone, is she comfortable having the weapons in the house if they are locked, if the keys are far away, if perhaps your older children have gone through gun safety? Is it that kind of thing, or is she truly just terrified that you may use them or terrified that the children may come upon them? What's her concern? What's her fear? Do you understand it, Mark?
I do understand. She doesn't have a problem with guns or the use of them. My kids are well trained. I mean, I only have adult kids.
Okay. That's a very important aspect of all this, so I'm glad you let us know.
So it's
that.
She has a concern about the use of potential use of lethal force to defend your family in the event of an intruder.
Right. I mean, we've got to have a bag of canned food. Here you go. Thank you. Nice knowing you. And they're going to turn around and walk away, and I say that's not always going to be the end of it, you know.
Well, yeah. Look, they're, you know, as far as the, I mean, logically speaking, I mean, you can certainly Google a whole bunch of news stories that talk about home invasions and other kinds of issues where, you know, the criminals will come into your home and not just be there to steal something, but actually want to hurt you.
For sure.
So there are plenty of news articles that, you know, that kind of show your wife that that's not the case. And the Catechism certainly does talk about the legitimate right to self-defense that does include lethal force if no other means can be used to protect ourselves and those that we love. I guess I'm just wondering, how does the conversation break down, though, between you and your wife?
Well, I mean, one thing about being safe with guns is to know how to use them. So if you go to a practice range and shoot, then you're now prepping for an encounter, you know. Now you're looking for a fight, and it's the last thing in the world I would ever want.
Right,
would
of course.
Be a fight with some other person. So, you know, and that segues into even just the mildest notion of prepping, you know, stored foods and being prepared for, other serious possible situations in our
So what
our
I'm
society.
Hearing, Mark, what I'm hearing is that you're a guy who likes to you'll feel more secure and you will feel strengthened by the idea of being as prepared as you can for negative possibilities, the idea of a home invasion, the idea of some sort of you know, cataclysmic thing where you would need food and you would need a way to protect your family. And your wife
is
saying,
if it's just me, they can put a bullet in my head. I don't care.
But you want to protect your family and especially your wife against these possibilities. And she's saying you're going overboard on this and that you should just trust in God more. Or is her concern more about your lack of peace about this? Or is she really concerned about the guns? Is she just as worried about you storing food, for example, or first aid kits or something like that for other eventualities?
It's a general feeling that maybe I'm over the top on it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, because again, I mean, although we do have that legitimate right to self-defense, and we do have certainly an obligation to be prudent in all of our actions, and you know, to do our best to prepare for, you know, foreseeable emergencies, there can come a point where, you know, we are kind of gripped by a sense of the need to try to control everything, and that we can't trust that God will take care of us. And I think that it's important, you know, to have an honest conversation with your wife about, you know, what measures you reasonably need to take. You know, again, trusting that you're both adults and that you both have a good head on your shoulders, and hopefully you can do this prayerfully, that the two of you are praying together and talking together about, you know, what are those reasonable measures that you need to take to protect your family, you know, and what are those things that you do need to leave to prayer, because we can't control everything, and the illusion of control is very seductive, you know, but it ends up often leading into an obsessive relationship with stockpiling things, whether that's...
Or just a lack of peace, and
yeah,
I have to say,
yeah,
you know, of the two of us in this couple, Mark, I'm more on your page. I have gone through phases in my life where I'm, as long as I have all the right insurance and everything where I needs to be, and the stockpile is this, and that somehow that's going to give me more peace and contentment, and what I find is that you can't prepare for every eventuality. I've learned that very much the hard way, but also that I actually undermine my own peace by trying to always have all of my T's crossed and all of my I's dotted. And what I'm doing is not sort of saying to God, I will do what I really feel is good and right and you're calling me to, but I am going to sort of release this to you because you are my Father and you know what is right. And it's a definite battle. And you are such a decisive man. You are so good at knowing what your family needs. But I think what your wife is saying is, honey, you're so good at this that you've got your fist clenched around it and you're not allowing the peace of God into any of it. Do you two ever pray together at all?
Absolutely.
Together.
Perfect.
The problem may be more mine.
I think that's
and
what
she's saying.
And
my indecisiveness of what to do, because I talk to other male friends and Catholic fathers, and it could be just bravado. They have the same worries I have, but they come on saying, I have no problem. I would shoot them if they tried to hurt my family. And I kind of am stunned a little bit. Like, I think I have a problem, but I don't know what to do.
Right, and at the same time, you're talking about the larger issue of your wife being concerned about these other provisions that you're trying to make, and I think she's seeing a lack of peace in you. So I would say the debate between the two of you needs to begin and end all the time with prayer of, you know, Father God, teach us what we should be doing and what we need to release. Help us be on the same page as this, because until you start to really pray together and she knows you're working on your own peace and your own trust in God, then she's not going to have enough peace and trust in you to be making that decision. She needs to know that you're bowing to the headship of God on this and not just your own concerns.
You know, in the book that I was talking about earlier, Broken God's Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, one of those longings is the longing to be able to trust.
Yeah.
To be able to trust God, to be able to trust that we somehow will, our efforts will be sufficient, you know, with God's grace to meet our needs, to protect ourselves. I really actually encourage you and your wife to pick up a copy of the book and go through that chapter on trust and begin to discuss ways that you could cultivate greater sense of trust between each other, but within your own heart. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with the legitimate right to self-defense. There's nothing wrong with preparing for danger. But there is a lot wrong with feeling like, you know, I have to be in total control of all the possibilities, and it's all up to me. And that's something that we can all fall into. And so this, I think, will help you get a greater balance on that aspect of your life. But keep talking and praying with your wife specifically about this. And in addition, I think that chapter on trust and broken gods will be a big help to you. We've got to take a break right now. When we come back, we're continuing the conversation about managing disagreements gracefully. Give us a call. Let's talk about the disagreements going on in your household or in your family, extended family, with your coworkers and friends and relations. We are here to help. 877 573-7825. You can also post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Bill Donaghy of the Theology of the Body Institute. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the Catholic vision of marriage and how we can articulate the difference of that vision respectfully with those who disagree with us. Stick around for that and a whole lot more coming up on More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pull on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back from Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEO in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Hi, Deacon Tom here with a reminder that Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store in the navigation bar at the top of the page. It's an easy way to shop, and you can help Catholic radio at the same time. The website can be found at avemariaradio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today we're talking about managing disagreements gracefully. And whether you are reeling from the disagreements that you're having with your family, friends, and relations about the recent Supreme Court decision, or just more run-of-the-mill garden variety disagreements that have been percolating in your house for some time, we are here to help you manage those disagreements gracefully. 877-573-7825. What are those disagreements that are hard for you to manage respectfully? And why do the conversations keep breaking down between you and the people that you care about, at least on that particular topic? Let's talk through it and find some ways for you to increase the peace in your life and your relationships. 877-573-7825 or post at facebook.com/more2liferadio. Joining us right now, Bill Donaghy of the Theology of the Body Institute is here today to talk to us about how we can begin to articulate this Catholic vision of love and marriage to a world that just really doesn't see eye to eye with us. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Lisa, it's great to be with you again.
Well, so, you know, let me ask you, first of all, what's the reaction of the Theology of the Body Institute about the recent Supreme Court decision?
Yeah, it was interesting. We were teaching. I was literally wrapping up Friday morning the close of a brand new course that I wrote on the Way of Beauty, Theology of the Body and Art. So Friday morning, we had a wonderful walkthrough with over 120 people from all over the country and the world, pondering the great beauty of God's creation and culminating in the human person and a call to love and union as man and woman. And one of the students, in the middle of the lecture, got the news alert, and literally it just came out. And it was a chilling moment, I mean, and a sobering moment for all of us as we closed our week pondering the beauty of complementarity that this came out. Mm-hmm. And so our reaction instantly, I'm in the middle of teaching, Dr. Greg and Lisa, in this moment. And we said, all right, let's stop, take a deep breath, and find our peace. God has a beautiful plan, his way of beauty. It may pass through lots of confusion. There's distractions and detours, but the beauty remains, and we have to take a deep breath and just trust that God is going to continue his glorious plan despite our alterations or our claims of authority to change it. So we had a moment of grace. I have to say it was a moment of grace, peace, again, sobering, but trusting. And I guess the whole attitude here is for us at the Institute, we're called, twist, alter, rearrange, but to receive gratuitously from God and see what he has to say by the gift of reality. So we're really kind of, we're just kind of sit in that. We want to sit in that Marian position of Our Lady, just to receive God's plan rather than to change it.
Well,
so,
well, praise God that we're given the grace to do that, because I know a lot of people were really thrown into a tailspin, and, you know, myself included. But let me ask you, okay, we've only got about 4 minutes left before we have to head out to the break, so I don't want to put time pressure on you. But if we were going to try to articulate, you know, in simple terms, this Catholic vision of love and marriage to a world that just doesn't get it, where would we start?
Start with Genesis, as always. God is the creator. He wrote a beautiful world of complementarity, of diversity, of giving and receiving. It's stitched in the natural world. And we began our whole week looking at that. Then we're created, the culmination, the voice of all creation, and we're differentiated. There's a masculine and a feminine inscribed in our bodies. And God calls us to union there in the diversity. And, you know, the theology of the body is literally that. It's saying, okay, wow, look at the wonder. Look at the wonder of what God's written into our very flesh. That's where we start. And I think that our world in its confusion right now is deciding, well, let me change that. Let me write over that. Let me scribble over that and try something that I think will work. And that attitude, you know, even as well-intentioned as it might be, does not correspond to the original blueprints. So we need humility and wonder to receive masculine feminine. I don't think we've gone deeply enough into it. Even in this 21st century, we have to go back to the beginning.
No, and that's certainly true. And, you know, the thing about the theology of the body, the genius there, is that it really highlights the importance of the body, you know, which, you know, a lot of people might think, well, why is that all that important? And it's important because, as you see, you know, the postmodern secular feminist mindset says that the body doesn't matter. You know, that reality is what we say it is, that we are what we say we are, and we can have what we want, even if it denies the very nature of our being. But the truth is that when we act in opposition to the way we were designed, things start to break down, and lives are wrecked. You know, our well-being is threatened, both emotionally and physically, and relationally, and socially as well, because the design for our relationships, the design for God's intention for our relationships, really is written in the theology of our bodies.
That's right. That's right. And really, the prayer is not, you know, arguments and defense and a sort of fisticuffs apologetics, but we want to get people back into the way of beauty, into the wonder of humility, of humbly receiving that great truth. Through all of our pain, our distortions, our you know, brokenness in our own childhood or miseducation in sexuality, that's our prayer, humbly receiving the gift of God's original plan.
Well, let me ask you, and we're going to go out on this, okay? We have 1 minute left, so I just hit this really quickly. Mm-hmm. So what I'm picking up from you then is the best way we can really respond to this is by living that way of beauty in our own marriage and family life.
Yes.
And really bearing
witness
to that.
Yes, exactly.
Praise God. And
yes,
that's what we
and listening to people. You're listening to people. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Bill, I want to thank you for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about the theology of the body and how it can transform their own lives and enable them to articulate the Catholic vision of life and love to the world more effectively, where can they turn for more information?
First, jump online, tobinstitute.org. Find us and let's talk. Let's talk about the beauty of God's original plan. Or you can, of course, visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and all those things.
tobinstitute.org. Bill Donahue, thanks for being with us today, sir. Always a pleasure. And folks, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're talking with you about managing disagreements gracefully. All those disagreements, both the current political ones as well as your own personal struggles. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor, to honor St. Matthew Catholic Church in Flint, which has been led by the Augustinian Fathers for the past 89 years. The Augustinians are ending their service to the parish at the end of this month. Please keep Father Fred Taggart, Father Ronald Seibel, and Father James Sheridan in your prayers.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" They reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus presses them, "Who do you say that I am?" The disciples try to dodge the question, responding with what other people are saying about Jesus. And our world today does the same, calling Jesus a good teacher or a good man in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some even dismiss him as a myth or a legend. But the Lord is asking us for our answer. Who do you say that I am? Not what academia, entertainment, culture, or politics have to say. You. It is your choice and your Holy Spirit-inspired answer. What do you say?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace. Power. Purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. What if I told you there was a magic pill that's been shown to increase life and marital satisfaction, improve family stability, and significantly decrease the risk of depression, substance abuse, promiscuity, and behavioral problems? Well, you're in luck. Such a thing exists, only it's not a pill. It's called Rituals of Connection, or as I call it, Vitamin R. Simple habits of togetherness, such as regular family meals, prayer, recreational family days, and other activities of the sort. Rituals bind us together. They have the ability to create community and intimacy and lead to bonds that can be unbreakable. A simple dose of vitamin R reminds couples and families why they love each other. Establish regular habits of work, play, communication, and prayer as a couple and as a family. In this way, your marriage and family can grow to become truly outstanding. For more ways to build a lifelong marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life, the show that helps you live a more abundant and joy-filled life through the gift of the theology of the body. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about managing disagreements gracefully. And we are talking about all those disagreements in your life, both the disagreements we imagine you've probably been having with some of the people in your life about the recent Supreme Court decision, but we're also talking about those more garden variety, long-standing disagreements between you and the people that you care about, you know, regarding discipline issues or financial things or questions about your relationship. You know what I'm talking about. There are all kinds of topics that are hard to talk about respectfully, all kinds of issues that are hard to resolve gracefully. What are those things in your life? Let us help you increase the peace by calling 877-573-7825 or posting your questions at facebook.com/moretoliferadio. Let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking right now with Jennifer, listening in San Antonio, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey there, Jennifer. What can we do for you?
Hi. I have a question. I have a husband that says I'm a bad mom, but the thing is, he doesn't recognize that he's quite bossy. And he tells me, you need to do this, you need to do that with our son. And he doesn't let me just be mom.
Now, Jennifer, let me ask you let me just start by clarifying one thing. You began by saying that he says that you're a bad mom. Does he literally come out and say, Jennifer, you're a bad mom? Or is he saying, hey, I'd like you to handle this differently or that? Give me an example of what you mean.
He says, he says you're a bad mom.
Wow. Okay.
And,
wow.
And
yeah.
This is your present husband. Am I correct? You are still married to this man who is...
And he's still alive. Okay. All right.
Yeah, really. And okay. See, I've been a teacher for over 25 years with multiple kids of different ages, and I know how to teach. I know how to parent. But the thing is, he's so freaking bossy. He just doesn't stand back and let me be mom and let me do what I've done all these years.
Yeah, okay.
And now I can apply from what I've been teaching to our
sure.
son.
Sure. And it sounds, I mean, it sounds to me, honestly, and I don't want to discount, you know, any of your husband's wisdom here, but at the same time, there's a difference between, you know, having a difference of opinion and having thoughts about, you know, like sitting down with you, for example, and saying, you know, Jennifer, what about if we could handle it this way? Or, hey, I had this idea.
You know, I was concerned about this. Could we try it this way? Because I want to address this concern I'm seeing. And
yeah, I mean, husbands and wives have to be able to sit down and have those kinds of conversations all the time.
We
That's
all
fine.
Often have different visions on parenting.
But, as we often say on this program, respect has to be the price of admission. Even if you have something
right.
legitimate to say to someone, even if you have a legitimate complaint against someone, even if they've committed a serious offense against you, you still have an obligation to approach them with respect. And Jennifer, if your husband doesn't approach you respectfully, and I want you to be careful about this, I don't want you to do this in a snotty, disrespectful way yourself, because it's tempting to do that, right? But I want you to look at your husband and say, honey, I am willing to listen to whatever it is you have to say to me. I would love to work through this with you. But if you cannot speak to me respectfully as the woman of God that I am and your wife, then I'm afraid I can't listen to you speaking to me like this. And he'll flip out. You know, he'll get angrier and whatever. And you just say, well, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. But until you can get control of yourself and approach me in the respectful manner I deserve to be treated in, I'm afraid I can't hear what you're saying. And you're going to hold that line. It's going to be important for you to hold that, not just because what will happen a lot of times in this dynamic that you're describing is there'll be this, you know, sort of conflagration, right? You know, this blow up, and then everybody goes to their separate corners, and then they come back later on as if nothing ever happened. Does that sound familiar at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't let that happen. See, because what happens in a healthy relationship, you know, inevitably, husbands and wives will step on each other's toes. Everybody has a bad day once in a while. We often will say things that we shouldn't to each other. But in a healthy relationship, there's a pause at that point. One spouse says to the other, hey, that really hurt. You can't do that. And the other one says, oh, gosh, I'm really sorry. Or they take a break, and then they come back, and then they say, oh, gosh, I'm really sorry. But they don't move on to all the other things going on in their lives until they've gotten that particular little offense handled, right? So they learn from the mistake and they move on. In your relationship, that doesn't happen. There's no pause. There's no accountability. It's just like, okay, we go our separate corners, then we forget about it, and we come back and pretend like it never happened. You're going to have to draw a line in the sand that says, okay, not only can you not talk to me about this, or like not talk to me like that then, but we can't really re-engage our relationship until I get a real apology from you and you tell me how you're going to handle similar situations differently in the future. So later on when he comes back to you and says, so what's for dinner, Jennifer? You say, well, honey, I'd love to talk to you about that, but until you're ready to talk to me about how you were really disrespectful before and give me an apology for that, I'm afraid I can't have this conversation with you either. And then he'll flip out again and go off to a separate corner, and then he'll come back later and say, well, the sky's awfully blue today, honey. And you'll say, gosh, honey, I really would love to talk to you about the weather, but, and you know, and so on and so forth. And the point is that you're going to draw that line that says, look, I love you, and I want to have this conversation with you, and I want to learn from you and listen to your wisdom and all that other good stuff, but respect is the price of admission, and I need you to respect me. Now, if you cannot do that, if you find that he's putting too much pressure on you, or you don't feel like you're strong enough to do that, or any of those sorts of things, there are two resources for you. I'd like you to pick up a book by Patricia Evans. It's called The Verbally Abusive Relationship.
And I think that this might really be in order, Jennifer, because a man doesn't call the mother of his child, who is still his wife, a bad mother, and then treat her with hearts and flowers and royalty the rest of every other subject and every other moment of the day.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that this level of disrespect he's showing you and this lack of self-control that he's showing the world by doing this
pretty
is
pervasive.
Pretty much in everything he does.
So that
you.
Book will be helpful. Okay, The Verbally Abusive Relationship. Now, Patricia Evans is not a therapist, so she can be a little pessimistic about these relationships. She's very good at defining the different patterns of verbal abuse, though, and helping you recognizing the little games that are being played there. The book that I would say that would help kind of defeat those patterns is a book that I did called When Divorce is Not an Option, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which talks about some of these habits that healthy couples use in conflict to manage these sorts of situations that you're describing. And again, that's When Divorce is Not an Option, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. But if you find that, you know, the reading isn't cutting it, you know, that you're not able to either follow the advice we've given you today on the program, or those books aren't enough for you, then we're here to coach you through it. You can always contact us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute. We can either do a counseling for you individually to kind of strengthen you so that you can set those limits and start to create change in your marriage, or we can work with both you and your husband if he's willing to join you. One way or the other, though, I'm glad you're sticking it out, but something needs to change. It's not okay for you to continue to settle for this and accept this.
It's not okay for any of us.
It's not okay for him.
It's not okay for him to be this out of control and this angry. It's not okay for him to be living in a space of disrespect. It's less than he deserves as a man. Certainly far less than you deserve, and you both have to get it together for the sake of your son.
So, you know, if you'd like more support, come on over and find us at moretoliferadio.com. You can learn about all the resources that I just mentioned, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. But Jennifer, please be assured that we're adding you to our prayer list. I hope that you'll be able to just use the suggestions we talked about on the air, and that will bring about a change in and of itself. But if not, there are lots of other ways that we can support you, okay?
All right, I appreciate it.
God bless you, and thanks so much for the call.
We're praying for you, Jennifer. That's a crummy way to have to live.
It is. You know, managing disagreements gracefully sometimes means setting those limits that say, I'm willing to talk with you, I want to hear everything you have to say to me, but not if we're going to go at it like this. And, you know, well, listen to what I'm saying, though, okay? I am not saying that you ever go to somebody and say, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. I am not talking to you.
If you're talking to me in a tone of voice, this conversation is over.
I'm not saying that, am I?
Work.
Boys and girls. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, I really want to hear what you have to say. I would love to have this conversation with you, but I cannot do it as long as you're approaching me like that. Please, either say it again more respectfully, or we'll take a break, or whatever, but I can't do it like this. Do you hear that? I'm letting you know that I want to hear what you have to say. I'm open, but you're going to have to come through the door and stop driving a tank through my wall.
Yeah, and I've got to say, Greg, most people are saying, I have never had that much control in my life during a relationship conflict that's heated up this way. That's why it's a gift from God. Self-control is a gift from God. Walk into this in a prayerful spirit. Pray to God that you would have the words to say. And if you don't have the skills, know they can be taught. You're never alone in this. If the way Greg is saying this sounds foreign but inviting, it's something that you can learn. So get with a good therapist. Get with us here at the Pastoral Solutions Institute. You can turn relationships, whether they're very close ones, like, you know, we're talking about husband and wife here with Jennifer, or even the day-to-day stuff you have to handle at the office. You can get the skills to handle it in this kind of way that's effective, gentle, respectful. It'll work for you.
All right. What are those disagreements that you're having a hard time managing gracefully? We've all got those topics that are hot button issues or situations that are, you know, dividing us, whether that's husband and wife, parents and kids, or extended family, coworkers, whatever. What is that thing that is really bugging you and you're not sure how to get past that disagreement with this person that you care about but just can't get see eye to eye on? Well, we're here for you. 877-573-7825. Or post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. And we'll be back with more to life and managing disagreements gracefully after the break.
More to Life is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Fund is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
When are the most important times to celebrate the liturgy? According to the Catholic Catechism, Holy Mother Church has decreed that there are certain days throughout the year when the saving work of Christ should be commemorated. The Lord's Resurrection is celebrated once a week on Sunday, the Lord's Day, Once a year, it is also celebrated along with his passion at Easter. Easter is considered by the church to be the most solemn of all feasts. During the course of the year, the church's liturgy unfolds the whole mystery of Christ, and it is made present to the faithful in every age. When the church celebrates the mystery of Christ, there is a word that marks her prayer. The word is today, echoing the prayer taught by the Lord. It is also synonymous with the call of the Holy Spirit. This today, in God's time, always makes present the hour of Jesus' Passover, which reaches across and underlies all history. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking about managing disagreements gracefully today on More to Life. Let's go to the phones right now and take more of your questions.
We're going to Rebecca, listening in San Antonio, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey, Rebecca. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
My problem is I'm trying really hard to be very open-minded about this gay marriage thing, but like I said, I got married to someone that we weren't married very long because he was hiding behind the fact that he was actually gay. It turned out to be a very, very unfortunate situation for me.
How
he was
heartbreaking, I'm sure.
Did you have children with this man?
No. Like I said, I got married late in life. The marriage only lasted like a year and a half.
I see.
However, one of the things that I really was happy about meeting this man was because he was Catholic. And I thought that after my first divorce, I would kind of hold out for somebody that was Catholic and not marry somebody that was of another religion. Because I wanted to grow in my faith, and I wanted a man that would love God as much as I do, and so that we could both put God first in our marriage. And, well, that didn't happen. I guess the day after the wedding, he turned 360 on me and became extremely abusive.
Oh,
verbally,
darling.
Verbally, physically, and everything else, and of course...
The day after the wedding.
That's just horrible.
After the wedding.
Now, let me just ask you, because we got 4 minutes till they kick us out of here, so I want to do something helpful for you before I go. What can we help you with today?
Well, I'm just trying to find peace with all the, this whole gay marriage thing and this whole partnership thing. Because right now, I have a very bad taste in my mouth for... people that are gay. So, I don't know. I'm not sure what to think.
Well, you were really hurt by your husband, who treated you terribly. But it's important for us to not project our personal experience of one person onto an entire population. We can do that with anybody, I think that's what you need to realize, that number one, your husband was not the representative for the entire homosexual community. Number two, that even people we disagree with strongly, like, for example, people who are pushing a gay marriage agenda, there is a godly longing behind that distorted desire, behind that distorted political impulse. There is a godly longing for acceptance, for dignity, for a sense of being loved and in part of a communion with other people. And that's all very good, and that's all very godly. The way they're going about it, we disagree with strongly and feel that it will ultimately lead to profound disappointment for them and even more sadness and bitterness in their lives. And that's why we oppose gay marriage, because we don't want people to try to satisfy their needs in ways that will be ultimately unsatisfying both in this life and the next. And so, Rebecca, I think that there's a kind of a two parts to your healing there. The first part is, as I said, beginning to work harder on healing from the hurt that your ex-husband caused you, as he was coming out and treating you so poorly in that process, but also, you know, recognizing that the same longings that drive you, that get you up in the morning, that motivate you in all the things that you want in life, are the same longings that motivate everybody else, you know, gay or straight or anything else. And you know, when we can engage those deeper longings, what Bill Donahue was talking about, then we can touch the beauty that's underneath our brokenness, the beauty that's underneath our sinfulness, and we can find graceful ways to meet those needs. In fact, that's entirely what Broken Gods, the Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart is all about. You know, how do we stop hating ourselves or the broken parts of other people and begin to see what God is doing in that brokenness so that we can engage that beauty that is behind the ugliness of our sin, the ugliness of our brokenness, and experience God's transforming grace in our hearts and in our relationships. So that might be a way to continue that reflection. But, you know, Rebecca, again, it's I'm so sorry that you were so deeply wounded by your husband and so poorly treated by him. I will add you to our prayer list here that God would continue your healing. But keep in mind that this decision, you know, it doesn't really have anything to do with that experience. You need to heal that part of it, mm-hmm. of your life. And as you feel more healing in your own life, you'll start to be able to be more generous about all the other people that you encounter as well. Rebecca, thank you so much for the call. That's all the time we've got for today, but thank you. That is all the time we've got for today, actually, and I want to thank you all for sharing your stories with us. I'm sorry for those that we weren't able to get to today. Please do call back tomorrow. We will have a topic, but if you call in, we will certainly put you to the top of the list.
Absolutely.
Happy to work through those with
you.
And we've been talking all today about managing disagreements gracefully. I know that you are probably embroiled in lots and lots and lots of disagreements in your life about recent political events, as well as just the garden variety ongoing challenges in your life where you don't see eye to eye with the people that you care about. But one way or the other, the reality is God's grace is sufficient, and that Jesus continues to pray that we all might be one in Him as He and the Father are one. That with God's grace, we can overcome even the widest chasm. If you'd like to learn more about the resources we have to help you fill in those chasms between you and the people you care about, come on over to moretoliferadio.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, listen to our podcasts and other recordings, and check out the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor that can help transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Again, learn more at moretoliferadio.com. or call to make an appointment to speak with a counselor at 740-266-6461. That's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling appointment line, 740-266-6461. And remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Don't you dare settle. Have a blessed day.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews. When I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Have you lost a loved one? Do you have questions regarding estate settlement? How are my taxes, estate plan, and investment plan affected by the loss of a loved one? How will my Social Security be affected? And will I have enough income to maintain my standard of living? To answer these questions and for assistance in all estate settlement matters, contact the experts at Michigan Retirement Specialist, 313-2-RETIRE. Again, 313-2-RETIRE.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-